Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Bills Wire. We're not the Bills Wire podcast. Welcome to the Bills Cast. No, we're not that either. Let's try this one more time. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Wagon Wheel podcast. That is right. We are changing our name again. I am Matt Johnson. I am joined by my very fun, delightful co-host out on the West Coast. I like that. Co-host on the West Coast. I like that phrasing. David, thank you for joining me on this is like my second inaugural episode this season, but thank you for joining me. Thank you for being a part of this adventure. And thank you for coming up with the name, the Wagon Wheel Podcast. Excellent, excellent idea. Can't believe nobody took that before. Well done.
Feels nice to be the first to think of something.
Right? Yeah, that's it. I mean, it's Buffalo. Like, we're a tough city, but I feel like everybody's like, everything's been thought of. There's so many Buffalo Bills podcasts out there, and the fact that nobody has done Wagon Wheel, A1, my man, A1. You are a huge compliment to our pairing. So, very good.
Thank you. Nicely done. Appreciate that. And just doing my part, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, first things first, how are you? how are you feeling?
Matt, I think I might go back to church.
Yeah, don't. No, you might have to.
For another round, yeah.
You might have to. Show me on the doll. Show me on the doll where DeAndre Hopkins hurt you. That is the story of the day. Amazing, wonderful, disheartening gut punch of a moment that Buffalo Bills fans endured tonight against the Arizona Cardinals as they fell 32-30, I think was the final score. Unbelievable. I thought the Bills played relatively, it wasn't the best showing that they've had, but they did enough to win that game. Is basically what I'm trying to say. And you know, Hail Mary, being on the wrong end of a Hail Mary, never a fun thing, never at all. How are you taking this? What are your initial thoughts on, you know, this the way that the Bills lost today?
It's tricky, isn't it? I remember earlier this season, a conversation that you and I had about tipped balls and interceptions on tipped balls. And I think that, by the way, a great topic that would be worth discussing more after the season, you know, when we usually get a year where they talk about whether or not there will be any rule changes. That's one that never gets talked about, right? Is whether or not there's a different way to categorize that than the interception.
Yeah.
But you and I talking about that, I remember that when we were discussing it, saying, you know, it's one of those things that when it happens for your team, it feels amazing. Feels incredible, right? It's epic. When it happens to your team, man, it is hard. That's a tough one. And so it's a tough way to lose. I thought overall the Bills played better and deserved the win more over, like, you're looking over the full scope of the game. That's not to say that the Cardinals did not play well. I thought they were great as far as driving downfield, but the Bills did a great job of holding them to field goals most of the game.
Yeah.
On those drives. And, you know, we made a lot of mistakes on offense that put them in the position that it did late in the game. Had some, you know, even a little bit of kind of give on the defense after AJ Epenesa went out. So those are some things that really stood out to me as far as maybe things that might have had a ripple effect. They showed up on a big throw by Allen and catch by Diggs at the end of the game. Beasley was super clutch. I mean, he literally kept them in that game all times on clutch. That kept drives alive right when they needed it. And so it's realistic to say they shouldn't have allowed themselves to get stuck in that position in the first place. Or to let the Cardinals back in the game the way they did, but they fought their way back. The play at the end, you know, where Murray just heaved it with 6 seconds left. And I understand how good Murray and Hopkins are. I don't need to take anything away from them.
Yeah.
But it, you know, one thing differently, right? If they'd gotten a defender on Murray, they had three guys on Hopkins and only one of them went for the ball. So, you know, when I look at those things and I really think about it, there's a lot of things in that sequence I notice or recall from the rest of the game that makes it tough. It makes it a tough loss. It was a great play, huge big time play. But I did think that the Bills earned it more, but in the end, the Cardinals reminded us that if you just make the right play at the right time and you know, the other teams left the game too close, it can go the other way. When you're leaving it up to chance like that.
It certainly can. And Arizona made the best of it. 34 seconds left on the clock after the significant drive that Allen, you know, made with, you know, hitting Beasley and some other targets and eventually Diggs in the end zone. But you can't get like complacent, and that certainly, I feel like that might have, I'm not going to say the Bills defense got completely complacent, but one thing I did notice is that Hopkins had an easy route to the end zone. If you go look back at that play, he was not challenged at the line at all. It wasn't like you're not putting Trey White on him. You know, there's obviously you can't enter, you know, no pass interference or defensive holding, but there are ways you can slow him down a little bit. Hopkins had a straight shot to the end zone. And I was very, very baffled by this look. And I mean, that could have been adjusted better, but honestly, you know, Hail Mary touchdown passes, they're so one in a million. I know Aaron Rodgers used to make them look very, very easily a couple years ago, but you know, it's spiritually, it is a hard way to lose, but I think from a total game outlook, it's not terrible. It's right. Not, it's, if you get, I think you understand what I'm saying. And I'm not trying to, you know, say that, you know, it's, you know, this is fluke. And even so that the Bills played like this perfect game, cause they certainly did not. But, you know, I think like there's a lot of spirits that are down tonight right now after like an amazing week with over $600,000 raised to Oshaya Children's Hospital through Josh Allen and the Bills, you know, mafia. It's been a wonderful week, but the spirits are like down. And I'm just like, oh, I know it stings. It sucks. It's the worst feeling, but it is not like not the end of the world. Losing by a Hail Mary, it doesn't define what your team did for the remainder of the other 60 minutes, or you know the remaining time of the game, the remaining plays. And like I said, it could have been better, but it's not like it's. It's things that you're going to have to wait 2 weeks to do it too, because the Bills are going on to a bye week, but it doesn't really define the total effort, I guess, is the best way of saying it, of the Bills throughout the day.
Yeah, we were really kind of feeling the absence of some of our guys on defense this week too. You know, one of the big stories on the Bills side going into the game was we had a handful of guys out due to COVID protocols. Quarterbacks, Josh Norman, Levi Wallace, safety, Dean Marlowe on the defensive side of the ball. And then also Tyler Croft, who is one of our top tight end targets for Allen. And Dawson Knox, who I'm a huge fan. You know, he's one of my two favorite Bills. But, you know, we need more play out of him at the tight end position. And you and I talked about that. And with Tyler Croft off the field, you know, Knox had, you know, a good, I know he had at least one good big catch and yard gain, but I also know he had a drop or two. And on the defensive side, I'll put it this way, even when Levi Wallace has been playing, teams have been targeting him.
Right.
And so I would have loved to have had Josh Norman on the field today, to have a veteran presence at cornerback so that we could have two experienced guys who are experienced at covering number one receivers on the field, one guy for Hopkins and one guy for Larry Fitzgerald.
Yeah.
And I would have loved to have seen Norman on Fitzgerald, by the way. That would have been interesting.
That would have been. That certainly would have been. Yeah, I mean, the injury thing, you can never it's always unfortunate. You could sit there and play the what if game, the what if card all day, but yeah, it's strange. It's, you know, what is there to really look at? What is there, you know, a lot of people are asking, what do I take away from this game as a Bills fan? What do I take away from it? You know, the Bill, I mean, I'm not going to sit here and praise the Bills defense. They did 100% wonderful job throughout the day. I think they gave up like 200 yards on the ground, which is still something that needs to be worked on. But there is, I mean, they played to win today. Honestly, if things hadn't gone as, you know, finished the way that they did, the Bills would be walking away with a win. And I think a lot of the mistakes would be forgotten. I think it's actually it's probably best that the Bills, you know, this happened when it did. I really do. I think if they skated out of Arizona with a victory, that people would be like, oh, you know, forget, you know, because there's a lot of people who you're not allowed to criticize the Bills, you know, when certain things happen, unfortunately, that, you know, but I think it's best to put these things in a light. They have 2 weeks to work on, you know, all of these issues that were glaring today, issues that have been glaring over the last 2 months of the season. They have, you know, there are issues. There certainly are. And I'm actually like, I think it's one of those important losses. I think that, you know, sometimes that you're going to, and a lot of people don't understand this concept, but you learn a lot more. You take a lot from a loss than you do a win. I legit feel like that if they had won today, that a lot of issues would have just been swept under the rug and, you know, things wouldn't have, you know, I think the Bills are set for a really good final stretch of the season right now. I really do. Just, you know, despite the way this game ended, there's still a tremendous amount of optimism for this team. And, you know, it's cliche. It's annoying. It may not feel right, you know, feel good right now, but you have to believe. You do. Every team has those humbling losses. Can't, you know, let's take a look at some of the best teams across the NFL, right? Kansas City is it's easily the best team right now in the NFL. 8-1 record. They lost to a divisional opponent. They got outplayed, and it was, you learned from it. You know, you look back at some of these other teams who lost games along the way to Super Bowls, and it's like, oh, you learned a lot from it. I look back, I love NFL history. Chicago Bears, 85 Bears. All right. If Dan Marino hadn't picked them apart the way that they did, and Monday Night Football, down in South Beach, then I don't think the 85 Bears would have won the Super Bowl, because they would have just went in. There would have been a lot of pressure on them to perform and this and that. And I can go on a rant about that, but losses are humbling and very good for this. I think the spirit is basically the point I'm trying to get across here for Buffalo. It is not the end of the world. They're still they're still part of the class of the AFC. All right. They're still on top of the AFC East. It's a little tight right now, but they are still on top of the AFC East. And the remaining stretch of schedule is very favorable towards the Buffalo Bills, and as far as making a playoff push and, you know, recapturing that AFC East crown that has eluded them since 1995, 96, around that time period. It's been a long time.
Yeah.
95. So, yeah.
Yeah, you know, you're right. The silver lining in all this, including Miami's success, and yeah, I always try to be a good sport and just be happy for other people's success, to be honest. Not at the expense of the division crown, of course, but good for them. And so going into this game, you know, the Bills are going into this matchup, you know, today with an 85% chance to win the AFC East. They haven't won the division since 1995. And with Miami looking competitive with Tua, right? We didn't know what that was going to look like. They look at the very least competitive. You could make a strong case that we haven't seen enough of a sample size against of them playing against strong defensive schemes, like tailored to their offense yet,
right,
to get a really good read on how the rest of their season's going to go. But we will see them in the last game of the year. I do think this the silver lining is that we're 4-0 in the division. I heard someone say that Bill Belichick tells his players that division games are worth 1.5, and that's very true. You know, that's that for me going in today was on my mind, kind of in the back of my mind was, hey, you know, we're 4-0 in the division. We have a chance to win it. You know, those games are worth more. And so right now that's something that feels good. When I looked at this schedule, Matt, at the beginning of the season, what I saw were winnable games. You know, what I saw were winnable matchups, and I saw a handful of them that were going to be tough. They were going to be harder than other ones.
Yeah.
Ones that we might win, or one, I'll put it this way. Ones that we could win versus ones that we should win.
Right.
Ones that we should win, I saw were games that I believed us to be the favorite in and to have the edge, and, you know, we're more likely to come out on top. And this was one of those games. And then there's games that we could win, like the game last week against Seattle. There's a lot of people who looked at that and thought, no way, no way would the Bills, you know, beat a team like
that's
that.
That's true, yeah.
But, you know, I mean, I thought that, other people thought that, but, you know, that's that thing that you talk about, hey, we got to believe sometimes, you know? So that stuff that was on my mind, I thought I had the Bills winning this game. I thought they were going to, they just looked a little off in terms of consistency, especially in the offensive side of the ball today. And they would get rhythms going, but then they'd also have stretches where they just looked off rhythm on offensive drives and had to kick the ball away.
Yeah.
And, you know, with things going the way that they are down in South Beach, by the way, these wins are going to be important down the stretch as we start to kind of start to think playoffs. You know, I know they're taking it one week at a time. We've got a couple games coming up here that I think give us a good chance to bounce back. Now, that's not to say they're pushovers, but again, they're games that we should win based on what we've seen from the Bills this season. The Chargers next week, followed by the 49ers, you know, who've unfortunately experienced just a riddle of injuries. But nonetheless, you know, the Chargers have a good team. They have a good young quarterback who even has a little bit of a similar build and size to Allen,
yeah.
A former Bills coach, and a Niners team who, you know, has a very dynamic coach and system that they run there. So that's what I mean when I say they're not pushovers, but they're games that the Bills are capable of winning and I believe should win. And then we got the Steelers. And the Steelers, just looking at the schedule, arguably are the toughest remaining team on our schedule. You know, that's the big dog in the AFC,
yes,
left on our schedule. Looking at this, we should beat the Chargers. We should beat the Niners. We should beat the Broncos, the Patriots, and the Dolphins. That's not, you never know how those games are going to go, but just if you were to base it on performance this season, other games we've played, other teams we've beaten, I think that's what makes games like this tough to lose.
No, most certainly so. I mean, this could be, you know, if the Bills do happen to split the series in Miami, this is a game that's going to be looked at as a tiebreaker, potentially. I'm not sure the actual in order of tiebreakers, but I mean, yeah, it certainly stings. And the Bills do have very important, you know, those matchups against the Chargers, against, you know, the San Francisco. They can't be overlooked. They are capable teams. They are NFL squads. Any given Sunday mentality definitely applies every time you step on a football field, but you certainly can't overlook them, because now if the Bills do happen to unravel, you know, I mean, does this team really want to be, you know, if they overlook, not saying that they are, but do you really want to overlook this Chargers team who has been on the cusp, who's taken really good teams to the limit? You know, the Chargers should be like 6-3, 7-2 right now. Instead, it's opposite. They've led some of the best teams in the National Football League, Tampa Bay. They were beating Kansas City in Justin Herbert's first start throughout most of the game. There's been a lot of things that, you know, the good things that the Chargers have done, but there's also been a lot of bad as well. They're hungry for a win. Justin Herbert is very hungry for a definitive win against a good team. So I don't think the Bills can really overlook that. He's still very, very talented, and you did make a great point. He is similarly built. I think he has similar talents to Josh Allen. Obviously, he's not as polished as Josh Allen is, but I think out of this crop of NFL draft quarterbacks, that Herbert, I think everybody was pretty blown away by how NFL game ready he was. So that's something you can't really take in, you know, take into consideration. You know, you can't overlook. San Francisco, you said, you know, Dolphins whipped on them pretty good. They've had their injuries. Jimmy Garoppolo, George Kittle, some of these big-time players, they don't have their little Bosa. And there's been so many people that are out, but you are going up against a brilliant-minded coach in Kyle Shanahan, who's led, you know, who's led technically, I would say two. He's led the 2017 Atlanta Falcons to the Super Bowl with a high-powered offense. And he led San Francisco last year when he's, you know, with a defense full of people that not a lot of folks really knew a whole lot about. So, these are critical games. These are going to be games that, you know, you don't want to leave it up to tiebreaker criteria is basically what I'm saying. Because when it gets this close, things can happen that are not in your control. You know, you kind of start to lose control. You don't control your own destiny is basically what I'm saying. So I do hope that, you know, the Bills can stay on top. They're going to have to, like I said, them and Miami are 6-3. Buffalo has a half game advantage over Miami right now, but Miami's a much different team than the Buffalo Bills played back in week two. So honestly, you know, the way that I'm looking at the schedule lining up, you did mention, you know, Pittsburgh and some other great teams. The Patriots did take the Bills to the limit, but I still don't think they're really a true threat. Again, any given Sunday, this race down to the AFC East, in my personal opinion, to try and get this crown has become much more interesting with Miami's, rise to, I think, competency in the NFL. I really think that, and this is just me talking. Most people probably won't agree. But I do think this thing does is going to be a little bit closer than people realize the way that Miami's been playing.
I think their effectiveness on offense and their performance on defense supports and validates your claim, Matt. They're a team that is playing good football on defense, and their offensive weapons are getting it done. And they are, for better or for worse, even switching to a rookie quarterback, they're in the mix for the AFCs. They've got a couple games next that they're facing that, again, you know, these things can go either way. You never know exactly how the games are going to actually play out. But on paper, you know, they're games they should win. Miami's playing the Broncos and then the Jets. But as the Jets just reminded us in their last game with a Super Bowl winning quarterback filling in, you know, you never know how those things can turn out. They might show up and make a game out of it.
That's true.
The Broncos, you know, they've had a couple games this year that they've actually played well and gotten away with a win. So,
yeah.
Sometimes it can just be the team that was better that day. And the schedule they have after that, I'm a little bit more confident in our schedule, the schedule that we have remaining this year.
That's fair.
That I am in Miami's. They play after the Jets, the Bengals, the Chiefs, the Patriots, the Raiders, and then us in the last game. You've heard me say this before, I think, but I love seeing teams after good defenses and good teams have played them, because it gives you a chance to kind of pick up other insights for how to defend,
right,
how to attack. And, you look at some of the coaches that they're going to be going up against, right? An offensive innovator in Cincinnati, an overall wonderkind in Kansas City. Andy Reid is just a giant, wonderful human being.
He is.
Football mind. the GOAT. The real GOAT of the New England Patriots, Bill Belichick, much to our chagrin, you know, is probably the greatest coach of all time.
Yeah.
And a defensive guru who figures out how to beat teams if he hasn't already by the time they come back out for the second half. And then the Raiders, you know, with Coach Gruden, who they're a fun team and can surprise you, but they also come out, they're one of those teams that comes out that should win games like that.
Yeah.
So in particular, I have my eye on New England. I'm really interested to see what their plan of attack is as far as dealing with the Dolphins offense And I think from a defensive side, they've been really good on defense. And I think that it's worth keeping an eye on those matchups with the Bengals, Chiefs, and Raiders, just to see if they offer any insights as to how to attack them on offense as well. Might be really fun to watch. And this is, you know, this is something to keep an eye on, because that's going to be the other big, you know, mobile quarterback matchup that we have left on the schedule. And Murray's quicker. Murray's a bit faster than some of these other guys.
For sure.
And nonetheless, Tua, you know, fresh out of college is not slow by any stretch of the imagination. He's also really quick. So I'll be really curious and interested to see how the Bills adjust, what we do differently, and how we prepare to face a team like that at the end of the season.
For sure, for sure. Now, I want to ask you this before we go into our drive-by-drive analysis of this game. You know, looking back at these last 10 weeks, right, the Bills have played 10 straight weeks as we're going into our bye week. What are some things that you would like to see them clean up, you know, as we get into this very important back stretch? You know, because like I said, it hasn't been all pretty. There's been building blocks, you know, there's been improvements in some areas, there's been regression in others. What do you want to see from this Bills team coming out of the bye week, you know, going up against the Chargers? I think it's a Monday night. Is it a Monday night game or no?
It's a great question. I'm going to take a look.
I feel like they still have two. I think they have two more primetime games left. If I'm not mistaken, I think the Chargers.
Yeah.
Unless it was Steelers. No, it was Steelers and Broncos. I think it was Steelers and Broncos.
I thought it was Steelers and Niners. I know the Niners. Oh, yeah. That's what it was. Monday night game.
That is correct.
I think it was that one, if I'm not mistaken.
That could be correct. I'd have to double check. There's a lot of speculation at the top at the beginning of the season.
It looks like Chargers are going to be 10 a.m. Next Sunday, Pacific Standard Time.
Okay. Oh, nice and early. I gotcha. So
yeah, 1 p.m. Standard go time there for the East Coasters.
Gotcha.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing. Looking at some of those matchups, you know, about the Herbert thing and about what they could do differently. You know, what I was thinking when I was watching today, they've been really developing the passing game this year so much that Allen hasn't had to take off as much with the ball. They've been really trying to get their run game going, and there's times where it goes well and times where it doesn't. And they had the run game's been better over the last like several games. It's been visibly and noticeably better. And they do seem to have kind of gotten things going, although it kind of was a little hit and miss today. There's times where it looked good. There's times where it looked like they were stuffing it.
Right.
The one thing that they did not stuff, though, was when Allen took off with the ball. So to answer your question, I always prefer that, you know, that we don't take any unnecessary risks, but we know when to take calculated ones. And in that regard, there's times like today where when passing the ball, to use kind of a relative analogy from the NBA, NBA, there's been a few generations of players who are a little self-focused. You know, they're focused on their shot, playing their game. And when they have a night where they're shooting poorly and they're not getting the ball through the hoop, their answer is to keep shooting. Not to be a team player, pass the ball, get your guys open who are making shots, you know, go to guys that are hot that night. There comes a time where if what you're doing isn't working, where it's okay to mix things up. And it looks like the Bills kind of figured that out later in the game. But there was at least a few times where you could tell that the kind of the offense not being able to get going and not being able to get the pass game going, at least on those specific drives, seem to be a little frustrating. If there's ever a time, you know, for Allen to get some of those big runs, big gains, you know, keep the offense alive, get him going down the field, I think that's a good time to do it, because they had no answer for him today when he did that.
Right.
And he didn't do it a lot, but when he did, they were big gains. He got one for a first down. He got one on a short pass for a touchdown. you know, he's a big boy. He's hard to bring down. And, you know, he's not afraid to do that. And he's sliding now, which is great for us because, you know, he's such a gamer that he was diving head first to try to extend and get yardage. So I think that look, I mean, not to take anything away for them, but I think that's honestly what made Tennessee so successful last year, is that they had a quarterback who would take off, you know, if he wasn't getting the looks he needed downfield in the passing game.
Right.
We saw what it did for Lamar Jackson last year. We've seen what it's done for Josh Allen. I think if there's one thing, it's just that we wouldn't keep knocking on a closed door when things aren't happening. Cause when you do that, you put the defense on notice that, hey, like when you take off with the ball like that, when something isn't working, you put the defense on notice and let them know, hey, look, you're going to have to worry about this, and that frees up the passing game. And that's where you might start to have some of those things open up that you're looking for that aren't there at the moment, and open things up a little bit more for yourself. So on the offensive side, there's that. Defensive side, it's just consistency. I've been pleased, to say the least, with the way the defense has played the last few games. That doesn't mean we can't be better, yeah. But it's a huge difference from what we saw the first, you know, 4 or 5 games of the season has been a big change. You heard me talk about it every week, wanting to see those turnovers that we were used to seeing, yeah, under Sean McDermott, a fumble here, an interception there. Well, we're getting that. And I think it's just keeping that consistency, continuing to apply pressure and not ease up over the course of the game and let teams back into it. And, you know, other than that, and this is more something I'm sure we'll circle back to probably after the season concludes. But I think something that we really learned a lot about this season is where we need depth, what positions we need depth at, and also which ones we need talent at. I know that Bean and McDermott like to develop guys, and I am a 100% believer in and supporter of their draft and development process. It feels so good to be able to trust your front office and coaching staff with the draft and know that they're going to find guys in the 3rd round, 5th round, who are going to become 6th round, you know, starters for our team. It's very impressive to me.
Yeah.
So continuing to do that, filling in where we need depth, signing guys, trading, whatever that looks like. But we saw the difference it made adding a talent like Stephon Diggs to our receiving corps and drafting a couple of guys like that. I mean, I think that gives a good reference model for what we could do in adding another linebacker, adding another cornerback. You know, some of these places that obviously, you know, there's some parts of the offensive line and some things like that. So those are some things that come to mind.
I got you. Yeah. Unfortunately, you know, definitely next offseason, this upcoming offseason, those are certainly things that, you know, the Bills can address. And yeah, you have to be a little bit more aggressive, I think, in the free agency and trade market. You know, once, you know, they didn't really make any moves before the trade deadline, which, you know, this year, which surprised me a bit. But heading into the bye week, you know, you did make a great point about how this Bills defense has improved. There is still room for improvement. But what it does remind me a lot of, you know, I love to, you know, acknowledge this quite often. Last year's Kansas City Chiefs team, terrible defense. They had some stars, but that wasn't the defense that that was going to win you a Super Bowl. Halfway through the season, though, I think it might have been after their bye week, some things just kind of clicked, and the defense started playing much, much better. It wasn't them reaching out and grabbing players. It wasn't them making trades. It was them just coaching up their players to be much, much better than they were. And I'm seeing that a little bit with Buffalo. Right now, obviously, we know the potential of this Buffalo Bills defense. You know, we got some very highly paid, very highly talented players on this defensive side. And every week it gets better and better. You know, there are issues in the run defense. There's no doubt about that. The linebacker injuries have not helped that case whatsoever. But there has to be, you know, the game is evolving around this Bills team. It's certainly, you know, the game is evolving around all of us. Like we're witnessing it right now. We're in a day and age of mobile quarterbacks, you know, of the way that teams run the ball now is vastly different than it was 10 years ago. It's vastly different. It's much more complex. It's not as simple as running the ball up the gut. There's certain things are changing, and it's kind of cool if you step back and take a look at it. I mean, the Bills are doing almost the same thing with the mobility that they have in Josh Allen. But I feel like, they're scheme wise, I don't know what exactly is happening, but there are ways to improve on this run defense. Because if you look at the rest of the AFC, there are a lot of run heavy teams that will expose, you know, if they do make it to the postseason, that could expose and pick apart the Bills in that manner. So that is certainly something that you have to tighten up on. I mean, if you're looking at the remaining contenders in the AFC right now, the Colts have been a little bit more run heavy as of lately behind Nyheim Hines. They have a couple other backs that they're doing pretty well in. It's not their go-to, but they will use it to mix things up. Cleveland just got Nick Chubb back, and they have a two-headed monster with Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb. They will run the ball up the gut, and they will get every single yard, possible yard that they can. You know, this is all saying, of course, if Cleveland ends up making the postseason, but Tennessee behind Derrick Henry, you got Kansas City who has, you know, Le'Veon Bell and Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Some of the other, I mean, Baltimore, we all know Baltimore's a very run heavy team with Lamar Jackson and, you know, they're J.K. Dobbins and Mark Ingram in that case. Raiders get Josh Jacobs. Josh Jacobs, I think he had a pretty decent day against Buffalo from a running perspective. I don't remember for sure. But these are all things that the Bills, you know, should be concerned about. And it's something you absolutely have to tighten up on. And it's not a pun on the Tennessee Titans to tighten up. But this is something that it has to come together, because everybody knows that the Bills run, you know, haven't done so well when it comes to rush defense. And they're going to go for the jugular with that when it comes to postseason time, as long as everything pans out. Offensively, you know, there's been so much good. There's been highs and lows. It's really weird. It's been a roller coaster ride. It really has. You know, one week I think, oh man, Josh Allen back in the MVP conversation. And then he has a game like this where he throws two interceptions, unfortunately. So, you know, I liked your point about, you know, having him kind of learn, maybe take off every now and then, maybe scramble. It's the way. It is the way. I think that's a Mandalorian quote. it is the way going forward. That's what the NFL is dictating towards as far as, quarterbacks go. They're going to have to pocket passers and scrambling passers. That's dinosaur stuff now. So you're going to have to let Josh Allen be a little loose. For comparison's sake, I remember a couple years ago, Cam Newton was electric 5 years ago, his MVP season. He only threw for 3,500 yards, but I think he tacked on like an extra 600 to 800 yards on the ground, maybe a little bit more than that. He had a lot of rushing and passing touchdowns. And then they told him to pull back, and Cam Newton was not the same player that he was before. It changed him. So I don't want Josh Allen to go away from his bread and butter. I still wanted him to develop as a prominent passer, but I also want him to be able to move the ball that, you know, he's been known for, because that's the way that the NFL is going towards. We don't want to, you know, you got to let him be free to an extent. You can't let him go too crazy. You can't have him, you know, hiking the ball on a pass play and then just being like, oh, screw it, I'm going to take off and run. But the run option has to be there. There has to be some kind of balance, because I mean, that's what Kyler Murray did tonight. That's what Lamar Jackson is going to do. That is, you know, that's what, I mean, Russell Wilson did not do it so great last week, but that's what Russell Wilson will do. Patrick Mahomes has been known to take off, in some cases, but you know, this is the way that the league is turning towards. And I think the Bills have to get with it, you know, while still making him pass first, but you know, letting him take off when need be and not just having him design runs in the end zone at that. So those are some avenues, some aspects that I want to, because I'm still not thoroughly impressed with Brian Daboll as a play caller. I think, you know, last week he might have looked great because the Seahawks defense is historically bad, but I want to see a little bit more. A little bit more creativeness and defense. Like I said, that the secondary, fine. It's been great. Tonight was a one a million Hail Mary touchdown loss, but that rush defense needs to pick up because the AFC is very run heavy. It's, you know, Pittsburgh, I didn't acknowledge Pittsburgh, but they have a pretty significant running game too, because Big Ben is not the Big Ben of old and they've been running the ball quite a bit. So, those are some aspects that I really want to see this Bills team work on, over the next week, you know, next couple weeks, and come back strong and two, you know, against the Chargers and lay it all out there and lay it all out there. If they come out and they look sloppy, I'm going to be, you know, there's reason to be pessimistic. At that point, you've had 2 weeks, you're recovering from injuries, and you've had plenty of time to game plan and kind of get back on track. So there is plenty of room for improvement, and those are things that I really think that the Bills should, the Bills should make an effort towards strengthening as we go into the final stretch.
You brought up a really great topic, Matt, about the mobile quarterback, and a big question, you know, going into this game was whether the Bills would be successful defending the Cardinals, a good team with a dynamic quarterback of that nature, also a dynamic quarterback and coach duo,
yeah,
sort of like defending a Russell Wilson or Lamar Jackson type, with a Sean McVay type of coach. And one of the things that's really been interesting to me is just how many people, and you know the nature of things. I mean, people kind of just echo whatever, you know, other people are saying or whatever, yeah, they're hearing, and, you know, analysts and some even front offices kind of buying in on short mobile quarterbacks as the future because of Wilson, Mahomes, and Murray. And realistically, Wilson might be the ceiling for that. You know, a one Super Bowl win quarterback looking to win his second one with a franchise, in a major market, but not as big as, you know, a major one. And you know, they forget. Right? They forget how things worked out over the full career scope for guys like Mike Vick, Donovan McNabb, Cam Newton. And McNabb's my guy. I mean, he's a Syracuse guy. So, you know, I still have my McNabb Eagles jersey
right,
as a Syracusian. And so, you know, it looks less like the prototype QB has changed to me, as much as larger and more prototypical size build guys are adapting and adding and moving in and out of the pocket and throwing on the run and really kind of adjusting their game to that. And I think kind of low key, Aaron Rodgers really sort of foreran that in some ways.
That's good. That's not a bad point at all. He kind of did a little bit. He did like to, I mean, he's never had the proper offensive line to do it, but he did. He did scramble a lot. He did throw a lot on the run, bootlegs. Well, not just bootlegs, but amongst other things. But that's a significant point. Yeah.
If you look at Josh Allen and now you've got Justin Herbert and the Chargers, they're both big guys. You know, both can see over the offenses. We see what happens when these shorter guys try to throw, get their passes batted down the line of scrimmage, when you kind of collapse the pocket and put pressure on them. And Murray is next level when it comes to being mobile, cutting, moving around, is unlike, I mean, it's literally the reason I always joke that it's like watching Darren Sproles play quarterback is just because of that speed and that cut speed.
I think he's a leading rusher really for Arizona.
Even though he looked frustrated most of the day today, I was still impressed by his ability to do that and extend plays and keep them alive. Wow. I mean, just moving around like that. And, you know, even with Lamar Jackson's big first season, look, he's not as good as Mahomes. And I don't know that he's as good as Murray either. Or at least as good as Murray looks like he will be.
Right.
You know, in terms of the long term, but, you know, there's also the injury risk, right? And that's the big thing that people talked about with Lamar Jackson. And when he first came into the league, it's kind of like the elephant in the room, right? Is those guys are small, Jackson's thin, one bad hit, and that's their season and possibly the beginning of their career decline, like we've seen with other guys like, you know, the Mike Vick or Cam Newton,
Steve
who
Young.
Maybe spent a little bit of time out of the league, have an injury. And they just never quite find their way back to form and then have to rely on being a pocket passer. Say that 10 times. times fast, pocket passer for the remainder of their career. Not all of them are going to have the success that Russell Wilson's had, kind of adjusting and adapting to that, where you're still in motion in and out of the pocket, but you're not quite going on as many crazy out of the pocket runs as you used to.
Yeah.
So that's something that I've definitely been thinking about. Also, the Bills are one of these teams, one of the teams that are basically teaching the rest of the league how to defend these guys. You and I have talked about how teams took their cue from them when they played against Lamar Jackson and the Ravens last season and sort of used that as a blueprint for how to defend them. And it's worth pointing out that Jackson hasn't had the same success since then. Teams have learned to adjust and to defend him. And he's good. I'm happy for him. And I'm glad things are working out for him in Baltimore. But it's not coincidental that they played the Bills and Sean McDermott and Leslie Frazier figured out a defensive scheme that worked against them. They figured out one that actually, you know, could get overlooked pretty easily enough, but worked against Kansas City that kept us in the game all the way to the end, where if we just played a little bit better when it mattered, we actually could have won that game.
Right.
And then also today, I think the same is true today. And the same could be said for the Cardinals game, is that, you know, whether the Bills can continue to have success running the ball, right? The run game overall wasn't a big part of the game plan against Seattle last week, since we were attacking their secondary, the passing game, but they did get yards when it counted and started to get a good rhythm going on the ground in the weeks prior. And we saw moments today where it looked good and we saw ones where it didn't. So those are things that, looking ahead, I'm really wondering about, is now that the defense seems to kind of be hitting a bit of a stride, can we keep that momentum going with the run game when we need to? And can we not have these strange things where, you know, Allen looks pensive or frustrated or you know, has a couple drives that are bad and they have to pump the ball away. He threw the hands off of receiver defenders, off of Cardinals defenders a number of times today that were lucky not to get picked off or caught. So those are just some things I was thinking about all in all, you know, at the end of this game.
No, most certainly so. I'm glad we both see things very differently, but we're very differently, but similarly at the same time too. So I do enjoy that you bring those, you know, those variety of topics up, but let us get into, we're going to go drive by drive and talk about this thing and we'll close up shop. But so let's recap today's game. Let's talk about some of the moments, some of the things we liked, some of the things we didn't like, and go from there. So the game started off today with the Arizona had the ball first. They went 75 yards on 13 plays, and Zane Gonzalez knocked a 23-yard field goal through, 3-0 Arizona. And the Bills responded in kindly, very dominantly too. I was very happy that they responded the way that they did. They made, you know, Arizona's not the best defensive squad, but they do have some playmakers. They got Buda Baker. They got Patrick Peterson. They got some really significant players, and those aren't just the only ones. But the fact that the Bills moved, and I get it, those first drives were kind of a chess match, a feeling out of sorts. And I was very happy that the Bills responded the way that they did. 63 yards on 7 plays with Allen hitting Dawson Knox and hitting Stephon Diggs for little gains here and there. A little bit of Devin Singletary. Let's see what else we got here. Isaiah McKenzie. This is really cool, though. This is this is actually a pretty electric way to score this first touchdown, I must admit. Was Josh Allen with a touchdown reception, which is pretty neat. Isaiah McKenzie hitting him for a little 12-yard pass. It looked a little high, but Allen got his hands up there. He pulled it in and he went through. And it was pretty significant. Cool moment. Very cool moment. I think there's like a trifecta that people were looking for. It's like a receiving touchdown, a rushing touchdown, and a passing touchdown is what they were looking for today. And I don't think we didn't get the rushing one, did we? We didn't get the rushing one, did we?
That's a great question. Allen ran one in, threw one in, and caught one. And oh, no, you know what? I take it back. I'm thinking of the one he caught and ran in, you know, but you're right. Yeah, I think we missed the rushing one.
Damn. So close. so close. Dave, what did you like on this drive, though? Was there anything you wanted to point out on this one?
You know, it was so, it made me feel all warm and fuzzy. I just wish the rest of the game, the offense could have looked like that. Yeah, I loved this opening drive by the Bills. You know, they had a big catch and run by John Brown, you know, just to kind of help break things open a little bit. Big in the sense of just kind of getting things going, you know.
Right.
And opened up, you know, things on the Cardinals side of the field for them. And then Isaiah McKenzie, you know, we've seen them run those little pop and pass plays where he kind of zips through the backfield. And it looked like they were going to run one of those. And instead, it was a fake McKenzie pop pass play. And he takes the handoff from Allen, draws the defense right while Allen goes left towards an open field. And then number 19 to 17, Allen actually makes a great catch, right? On the fingers, extends out to grab that and pull that in. And then jukes the defender at the goal line to bring it in for the score. You know, Tyler Bass kicked it off the goalpost, but it went in. You and I have told the tale of the fabled first season of Tyler Bass on a week to week basis.
Yes, yes, we have.
At least it went in. You know, he's missed a few his rookie season, but it's hard to complain when he's hitting them from like 40 to 50 yards out in some games with that big leg. All in all, felt pretty good. And they look good in that first quarter.
Most certainly did. Most certainly did. All right. Next drive. Arizona gets the ball back. 3 yards on three plays. Very good. A pretty good defensive showing. D-Hop only got a four-yard reception. Kyler Murray lost 7 yards, and he hit Hopkins for another 6 yard pass. They ended up punting the ball away. So a pretty good stand there by the defense. And then this is a pretty exciting drive here. The Bills get the ball back and they score again. So they're in the driver's seat. They're firmly in the driver's seat here. We'll talk about this one. So Zach Moss, Josh Allen, start off with Josh Allen hitting a 7 yard pass to John Brown. Zach Moss hits 2 yard run. Allen goes up the middle for 1 yard, little 5 yard pass to Stephon Diggs. Allen got blown up, a little negative 1 yard run. It was off a bobbled snap. He hits John Brown for 11 yards, a negative 3 yard run, a 9 yard pass to Cole Beasley. Beasley's so good. I think he's literally the I hope people realize how lucky that Buffalo has, you know, Buffalo is to have him. I really hope that they realize that. But it gets capped off with a significant, I think this is his career long so far, a 54-yard field goal. I think that's a career long for him as of right now.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to double check, but I'm pretty sure. I know he had one right around there earlier in the season, and that was a career long for him, but anytime you have a kicker that can boot from 50 plus through the uprights, what a great asset to have, you know, because there are those times where those points make the difference. And I think we've seen that and talked about that both ways, both in victory and in defeat this year, how those points can come back to matter later in the game.
No, most certainly so. And, you know, it is very important to have a dependable kicker. We know that, you know, there's been a lot more good than there has been bad with Tyler Bass. And it's important that you're having a rookie kicker that can nail that you can depend on in those situations. How many times have we watched a game over the last 5 years where a game, you know, a field goal is the decider between a victory and a loss, and, you know, how many times those kickers haven't pulled through, and it's absolutely tragic. The Bills have been on the receiving end of that. Dan Carpenter. So, you know what I mean? So it's honestly really reassuring. You know, we love the Hauschka era. A lot of people were surprised when we let Hauschka go. But you know, these moments like this, when you're nailing a 54-yard field goal, it helps make it vindicated that you made the right decision. It's hard to move on from a veteran kicker, especially when, I mean, in this day and age, it's very hard. I watched my Colts struggle to move away from Adam Vinatieri. And I was like, I love Adam Vinatieri, but he's got to go. I'm sorry. He's costing us games. And it's hard. Hauschka didn't do terribly. He missed a couple bad ones. He missed a few bad ones, but I think we would have been all right with him still in position here as the kicker. So they went the younger route, the cheaper route, and it's paying off dividends for them. So, I mean, he practically won the Jets game. He got scored all the points in that game. Tyler Bass is having a very significant season. I'm very happy that everything is working out so far for him and for Buffalo.
We got a little bit of a draft steal there, I think.
Oh, yeah.
That was one of those catch of the days, so to speak, Tyler Bass.
Good.
I'm here for all the puns. a few fun notes on his game today. 54 yards, 55 yards, 58 yards.
That's what it was.
He hit three consecutive career-long field goals. The 58-yard did set his career long. And then also, he has 80 points on the season, which is the third most by a rookie in Bills history. And you mentioned the golden toe of Dan Carpenter. His 58-yard field goal tied Dan Carpenter for the second longest field goal in Buffalo Bills history.
Interesting. Very interesting. That's pretty cool. I did not know that Carpenter made one. He was good for a little while, and then I think he got hurt or hit, and he just wasn't the same after that. But that's a story for another day. All right, we're going in the second quarter now. Arizona, 56 yards on 10 plays. They score. So just aside from one punt from Arizona, every drive has resulted in some kind of points, which is, you know, which has all the makings of a very fun and exciting game. 56 yards and 10 plays, a 42-yard Zane Gonzalez, who's a phenomenal, pretty really good kicker, a little bit underrated. Not a lot of people talk about Zane Gonzalez, but he brings the score 10-6 on this drive. And on the next drive, the Bills score again. This is that 55 one you were mentioning. They go 38 yards on 8 plays, and yes, they finished off with a 55-yard field goal. Josh Allen scrambling a little bit here, a little bit of Devin Singletary, so they're doing a lot of rush here. They had Stephon Diggs for a 14-yard reception, and they got a delay of game penalty, which is not all that great, but they brought it up that Allen hit McKenzie for 2 yards, and they go for the field goal. Just before halftime, or no, this wasn't the halftime one. Excuse me. But if they did, if he misses this one, Arizona's in a very good position to kind of score a touchdown and possibly take over this game. So they obviously trust Tyler Bass, which is a huge, you know, which I think a lot of people have to look at, that the Bills coaches trust him to make a kick like that. There's a lot of coaches who have kickers in this league that would not trust them. They would rather punt that ball away and try and pin them down or give them a touchback than attempt that field goal, especially with so much time left on the clock too in the second quarter.
Yeah. I'm thinking a lot about, you know, some of these little things that we saw in the second quarter and how they sort of affected, I think, my outlook on the rest of the game. I remember with under 9 minutes to go before the half, the Bills defense shut down the Cardinals drive with great pressure and coverage on Murray. I thought overall their pressure and coverage on Murray in the pocket was good throughout the day. And there was just some times kind of in the second half where, you know, after Epineza was out, it just wore, I think, opened things up a little bit. He's kind of like he looks like a giant Kraken sea monster out there sometimes. And I know he's a rookie. I know he's still finding his way.
Yeah.
And that, you know, he's just kind of, you know, getting his feet wet, but still he's such a big guy. And he had that big, you know, kind of tackle on Murray on a third down. So I'm thinking at this point, hey, if we're scoring touchdowns and they're scoring field goals, if they're only limited to field goals, I feel good about our chances. I like our chances the rest of the way, you know, and even after we got that stop though, the Cardinals returned the favor after a Bills holding penalty to keep us back on a field goal, though it did show Tyler Bass's range, for fumbling my words there. When the Cardinals got the ball back, they had under 6 minutes to go. I thought if we could get a defensive stop, get the ball back, scoring before the half would put us in a good spot. And then we get the ball back in the second half, score again. Then we have a great lead. you know, that we can add to, whether it's touchdowns or field goals. And then it's just on the defense to continue to sort of restrict what the Cardinals can do on offense.
Right.
AJ Epenesa goes out, gets that head injury on that tackle. He's out for the rest of the game. And I noticed once he was out, because the guys were already missing on defense, things starting to get a little tiny bit looser in terms of maybe not the pressure letting up, but in terms of Murray having a little bit less to work with, a little bit less pressure on him. And there was just little things like they are third best in the league in converting on fourth down, and they decided to go for it. Yeah, on a fourth down on that drive, on the same one that Epenesa got hurt on, and they got it. And that would have been a huge stop for Buffalo. So I was hoping we'd get that one. But again, keeping pressure on Murray, containing him, keeping this team out of the end zone, those were keys at this point in the game. And so as I was looking at it and kind of outlook-wise, looking down through the rest of the game, you know, they get the stop at the goal line, for example, on those two batted down passes, which is one advantage you have when you're pressuring the pockets on a short quarterback. Allen takes off for a big 15-yard run on the ensuing drive and kind of takes them downfield, starts getting them going where they can score, and then they get the ball back in the second half where we'd be in good shape. So there's just little things like that I'm kind of picking up on as we're making our way through the second quarter. Because if they can keep this up, we look good for the rest of the day. And then sure enough, Tyler Bass, the Bassmaster, hitting from 58 yards out, hook, line, and sinker. I mean, that was just great, man. Warm fuzzies, like I said, kind of like the beginning of the game, that opening drive. It's not like we're not seeing some of the good and some of the best that the Bills can bring. But I think what we saw today was the good, the bad, and the ugly. We saw a little bit of each, you know, that can come with them.
No, most certainly that is true. There's always something good to look out, and you know, and this is significant. This is great that you have a kicker, right? You know, that you can depend on like that. 58 yards is not easy. All right, I tried kicking field goals this summer. All right, now I'm not saying, you know, I've been trying to kick field goals all my life, but like 35, 40 was like my max. All right, 58 is pretty damn impressive, considering that there's people in shoulder pads who want to hit you. They're coming after you. There's a lot of other other things that come into play, and it is really significant. Some of the best teams in the NFL have a dependable kicker. Baltimore's Justin Tucker, Harrison Butker out in Kansas City. You know, these guys are clutch, and they win games because of those guys. Will Lutz in New Orleans, there's so many. So this is a really good sign for the Bills going forward. All right, we're going to the second half, and the Bills get the ball back. So it's really exciting that they did score. They're up 16-9, coming out of the half or going into the half, but coming out as well. So they get the ball back. There's room to tack on to the lead. You pour onto this lead, you're in control. You've been dominating this game defensively. Arizona's struggling to move the ball. They're getting field goals, not touchdowns. That's right where you want a team like this to be, especially. I think they were like one of the top offenses in the NFL. I think they were fifth. I think that they were fourth or fifth. The Bills in Arizona were fifth and fourth respectively. So they were either or, but that's a good spot to have a top five offense like that. The second half starts third quarter, 35 yards on 7 plays, and the Bills punt the ball away. And then Arizona fumbles, actually Kenyon Drake. I mean, this is a great defensive on the Bills punt drive. It was a great defensive showing for Arizona. They're like, okay, we're coming alive. We're figuring this thing out. And then Kenyon Drake gets the ball 2 yards and he fumbles the ball away, and the Bills make, you know, I'm like, oh, I thought it was a wrap at this point. I personally did. It was a fan, you know, it's a great punch out, in recovery. And then the Bills score 32 yards on 3 plays. Josh Allen hits Cole Beasley for 22 yards and a touchdown to make it 23-9. At this point, third quarter, the Arizona Cardinals are not completely out of it, but the way that things have been going at this point, you got to be a little confident if you're the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, that I like I was saying, that lead they had, I think coming out from that halftime, padding that, getting that, getting ahead, right? Because you know this Cardinals team is going to try to fight their way back into this game, look for opportunities to score. They haven't gotten into the end zone, so you know that's going to be something they're looking to do in the second half. And so the Bills have a lead. I'd feel a lot better if they scored on the first run out. And when that didn't happen and the Cardinals got the ball back, I'm still thinking, man, this is a great opportunity if we can get a stop, if we can get some turnovers, hopefully get enough distance between them and us in the points where we can add to it and just play out the rest of the game, continuing to add the lead, continuing to restrict them on defense or with our defense. You know, they are one of the top teams in the league as points allowed per game with 22.5. And so keeping that in mind, that's part of why I was a little surprised at how stymied our offense looked by their defense, or just by what was going on in the site, whatever it was that was going on in the second half that had them looking a little bit stymied on some of the offensive drives down the stretch. So nonetheless, at this point, I was thinking, hey, if we can knock the ball out or pick off a pass, that would really help us, help our cause, right? And sure enough, that Cardinals fumble happens. Dane Jackson, who's only his second NFL start, gets called up when Levi Wallace and Josh Norman are out, and had that big interception against the Jets in his first start this season, recovers to give the Bills good field position on the turnover, and they capitalized it. You know, an illegal hands to the face call in Arizona helped, but I mean, it did what they needed to do. And just a great throw on that drive too, when the Bills got the ball back to the corner of the field for Beasley for the touchdown. You know, and he is the bee's knees. Like the guy just does everything we need him to when we need him to. He's been and is one of the best players for Buffalo. And so it really highlights the window, right, that we can seize with guys like Beasley and Diggs shoring up and rounding out the rest of this roster. We're like, man, that window is a lot sooner than we might have thought. That window is now, it's open. Like, it's opening up to us with the passing game being what it is this year. I know the run game and the defense needed to get on their feet a bit. But, you know, whether it's this year, next year, just over the course of that stretch, we got a really brilliant window. And I think you see that with the way that Cole Beasley plays. So those are some things that had me encouraged and had me feeling like, hey, if we could keep this up, you know, this is our game to lose. I mean, we now have that healthy lead. So from here on out, that's sort of what I was thinking is, hey, now we have the lead. I was hoping for on that opening drive, a little bit of breathing room. And at this point, if the Bills defense can get stopped, because that's been the hard thing, is they've been containing and restricting, but they haven't gotten those big defensive stops outright. If they can hold the Cardinals to field goals when they can't stop them and continue to do that, but also get some stops, if the offense can keep adding to the lead, yeah, the Bills could leave Arizona with a win.
Most certainly so. Yeah, I mean, it was big for them to you don't want to be one of those, like we're going to talk about Arizona in a little bit. They get a turnover and they make nothing of it. So, but it was very critical here that they did, because I mean, it did separate them. It gave a little bit of separation. I think it's a 14. No, it's a little bit more than that. Is it 14? Yeah, it might be. Yeah, 14 point differential there. So two touchdowns. But Arizona, you know, it gives a little breathing space. You don't want to get too comfortable just yet. There's still plenty of time on the clock, but it does give the Bills a little bit of breathing room. You know, but unfortunately Arizona answers back. They go 85 yards on 9 plays. They really wore this Buffalo Bills defense out, hitting Hopkins and Kenyon Drake and everybody's eating on this for as far as Arizona goes. They benefited from they had an offensive holding penalty against them, and they still overcame it, just getting like 7, 11, like big chunk yard plays. Nothing significant, I think, outside of the opening pass on this drive, which was Murray hitting Hopkins for 35 yards. But they do finish up with a touchdown here. Kyler Murray, which, I mean, this is the beauty of Kyler Murray. You know, he's doing things that, like, I've seen Lamar Jackson do, but I feel like Murray brings an extra level of excitement to them. He's really good at selling the trickery. And I'm not taking anything away from Lamar Jackson's style of play, because they both play relatively similar, but I think Kyler might be a better passer. I don't know. It's not going to be my hill to die on. But he did really good at selling this fake handoff and just going right up the gut. I mean, that's a momentum changer right there. The fact that, one, the Arizona wore him out 85 yards on, you know, as many plays as they ran. Let's see. It was 9 plays. They wore it out, and that's a bit – I think that was the momentum changer. So, because, I mean, here, this offense has been pretty stagnant, this Arizona offense. The Bills defense was playing wonderfully. And you could start to tell there's a little bit of momentum change on this drive. And with that, you know, with that touchdown rush there for Kyler Murray, the Bills get the ball back 6 yards on 3 plays. They punt it away and Arizona gets a field goal. They answer back going 3 yards. It was a very bad Corey Bohorquez punt. It was very heavily, right? This is the one. Yeah. 12 yards. Very, very heavily criticized. The Bills wire Slack was not very happy with Bohorquez. And I'm sure a lot of Bills Mafia wasn't either. But they, Arizona only had to go. They went 3 yards on 4 plays, and Zane Gonzalez nailed a 45-yard field goal to bring the score 23-19. Next drive, Buffalo gets the ball back. Let's try and put some points on the board. 14 yards on 3 plays and a Josh Allen interception. Intended for Diggs. Goes to Patrick Peterson, one of the best in the game today. And I'm not entirely certain what happened. I'm going to have to rewatch this one. But I'm not super certain exactly what happened on this one. If it was overlooked, if Peterson – I think Peterson just had it very well scouted and just ripped it away from him. But
yeah, I mean, it looks like he threw it right to him. It was almost like he was throwing him the ball. And I know that that's not the case. I realize that that's just what it looks like to us on television when we're watching it. But it was weird. I this is really where I started to see the Bills' offense, like I said, kind of start to look off.
Unraveling.
You know, just things look different than what we saw on some of the drives at the opening of the game. And that it ended up being costly. I mean, you know, when Josh threw that pick, he'd already thrown a few passes in this game off the tips of Cardinals defenders' hands, including Patrick Peterson, who then picks him off, giving the Cardinals the ball back. And I think if you look at just the way that quarter started, even up until that point, you know, the Bills, they had the Cardinals kind of in that same position that they'd had them in all day, where Arizona had gotten all the way down into the red zone. And they'd been, you know, at least holding them to field goals, except this time they managed to score a touchdown. Kyler Murray ran it in. You know, they get the ball back 5 minutes to go, just over 5 minutes. And this is where, Matt, I started thinking, okay, this is where the offense needs to start playing like they did the first 4 games of the season,
yeah,
the way they did last week against Seattle, learning to put the foot on the gas and points on the board late in the game, but also when to do it and to increase the lead and not let teams back into these games, because it's been kind of like a something that's come up multiple times this season, is games that we win, games that we lose. There's ones that we're in those positions where we're trying to either win at the end and it does or doesn't go our way because of moments like this, because of stretches like this where we get a couple bad offensive drives, the other team is getting some momentum going, and we end up, you know, not being able to get anything going on our end on offense and instead have to kick the ball away. And I think that really kind of hurt them going through that first stretch of the third quarter.
No, most again, it's another momentum thing. We keep talking about momentum. Momentum is real. It is very real in the game of football. We've seen how one play can turn around an entire team's spirit. We watched it go well for Buffalo when was it Josh Norman against the Raiders, and you know how the defense tightened up after that. And momentum is a very real thing, and it's just like one gut punch after another. And, you know, looking at how the game unfolded, it was very surprising that Buffalo did muster up what they did and were leading with the small remainder of time. But, you could definitely tell this, yeah, this team was starting to unravel a little bit. They weren't, something wasn't right. Something was just very, very off. So, yeah, things were definitely different. So that interception happens and Arizona answers back 47 yards off three plays and Kyler Murray, takes it in for a touchdown, brings the score 26-23, included a 28-yard run by Kyler Murray, who's very, we talked about, he's super quick, very shifty. He has like that stop and go like ability that Le'Veon Bell had a couple years ago behind the Steelers offensive line. That is like, that's a tremendous characteristic. Sometimes they do it too much and they end up getting caught, but Murray does execute it very well. But yeah, 15-yard touchdown for Kyler Murray. He runs it in and all of a sudden Arizona's in the lead for the first time in this game. So making things a little uncomfortable. Bills get the ball back 5 yards on six plays, punted away. And then we go into the fourth quarter and Arizona's, they're not marching, but they're making significant gains. It's a methodical offense that they're running. They're doing pretty well. 38 yards on five plays. And then it ends with a Kyler Murray interception. But it wasn't your traditional interception. So here's what happened. And this is insane. Because this never happens. Larry Fitzgerald never does. Like, this isn't a thing. Mm-hmm. Right? Isn't the fun stat, like, Larry Fitzgerald has more tackles than drops in his career? Not that this was a drop, but he caught it. He hit the ground. And it bounced up. And it just popped right into – it was Jordan Poyer. It just popped right into his arm. Like it was, I've never seen anything like that before. I couldn't believe the momentum knocked the ball up that high and it just got picked off like that. It was crazy, but that's a momentum changer. I was like, okay, the Bills, this is the Bills time to kind of step up, get some momentum on their side. And I mean, that's a significant play, but unfortunately they didn't make anything of it. 43 yards on four plays with his next drive. They punted away. Arizona, 3 yards on three plays, punted away. And the Bills, Josh Allen, it wasn't a significantly long pass, but the first play on the drive, I know you got to get things going here, but you throw a pick? I don't know. Drake Kirkpatrick picked it off. I forgot where he came out of. I don't think he's originally out of Arizona. I want to say, I can't remember. Regardless, they were pretty hyped. And that's one way that's another gut punch right here for the Bills and this offense who needs to get something going at this point.
Yeah. We let the Cardinals back in the game and they made it close. They made the score close. And that's not a knock on the defense, but it is what I believe to be a fair critique. It's the tail of the tape. It's just what happened. When you have a high octane offense that relies on scoring a lot of points and outscoring opponents more than stopping them on defense, that's the nature of it. I mean, it's the same way the Rams were able to get back in the game against us when we played them. So, you know, some of Buffalo's biggest playmakers up until that point in the game had been kind of quiet. We saw them get a little bit more, a little bit more involved, some more big plays kind of later on down the stretch, but I was a little surprised by that. Another thing too, and this is just worth mentioning because we've seen it so much up until this point in the game, is Arizona injuries. I never wish that on anybody, but gosh, there was a lot of Arizona injuries, and I'm very, very confused I shouldn't even say confused, unclear as to whether or not the Bills really attacked the holes left, by that, because some of these guys were on defense. There were opportunities there, that it's really unclear if we really, attacked, some of the people that were coming in to fill in for those guys.
Right.
And it was just messy on offense. I mean, they were having trouble getting something going in the second half and looked like they couldn't. Also, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention, on one of those drives, there was a terrible no flag, no call on Fitzpatrick on Arizona on an Allen pass deep to John Brown, what looked like a pretty clear pass interference call that just didn't get made. the Bills kind of got robbed on that play and ended up having to punt again. So that's the one thing that I would say really didn't fall in their favor. Other than that, you know, it was really just kind of the tail of the tape. But and then it happens, Matt, we talk about it every week. You hear me bring it up and that thing about the turnovers and the difference that they can make. And that's exactly what happened here twice this game. And the difference is in the first half, they capitalized on it. The offense came out and did their job after the defense went out and did their job. Got it done. And this time around, we weren't able to capitalize it. You know, the freak play pops up. You never see that out of Larry Fitzgerald. The ball pops up in the air and Jordan Poyer just happens to be right there at the right time to pick it out and get the Bills the ball back. And unlike in the first half where they took that and, you know, maximized on the opportunity and scored, you know, they just weren't able to do that this time around, and it came back to bite them later in the game.
It most certainly did. It most certainly did. But here we go. We're going to get towards the end here. So, Allen throws that interception. Arizona punts after going negative 6 yards on three plays. This was baffling to me. It made me certainly question Cliff Kingsbury's play calling, because you have Kyler who can run. You have Kenyon Drake who can run. But you're still passing the ball. Two incompletions. The clock, you're slowing down the clock. I mean, this obviously worked in the Bills' favor for the time being, of course. But it was a little baffling for me to watch. It's just kind of a neutral and, you know, neutral person just watching and being entertained. Why they were not trying to kill some clock. I think there was still a significant, like, 4 minutes, 30 seconds left or something like that. And they kept stopping the clock, running out. But it did work in the Bills' favor. The Bills answered back, though. They punt the ball away. The Bills answered back. 73 yards off 12 plays. Started off with Josh Allen hitting Stephon Diggs for 6 yards. He hit Cole Beasley for 4. I mean, this is the little stuff, and this is, you know, it works out so well. You know, it all benefits. It all adds up. Josh Allen went up for a 12-yard run. The 5-yard pass to Stephon Diggs, incomplete to Gabriel Davis, who's, I think, I got to say he's regressing, but he hasn't been as much of an impact player as he was the first 4 weeks or so of the season. You see his name a lot with an incompletion attached to it, unfortunately. Then Josh Allen hits Cole Beasley for 7 yards. There's Zach Moss goes backwards for -3. A 17-yard pass for Cole Beasley, you know, again, such a gamer. They get a 5-yard penalty for a defensive offsides, a little 4-yard pass to Cole Beasley, and then a 21-yard shot from Josh Allen to Stephon Diggs. 34 seconds left. Allen to Diggs. We thought they were just maybe going to take it to overtime and try and, try and get the field goal. They obviously had, you know, they were pretty comfortable with Bass. Take it to overtime and see what you could do there. But I think they scored. Obviously, they scored a little too early. And we all know what happens next. On the bounce, the return drive, Arizona, 75 yards off 4 plays, and it ends with that Kyler Murray, Hail Murray, 43-yard touchdown pass to DeAndre Hopkins to make the score 32-30. And that's it. That is all she wrote. But, you know, what a tragic ending to another possibly great fourth quarter comeback for Josh Allen. I mean, that drive was significant, but I'm sure they're kicking themselves in the butt a little bit for, I mean, it's crazy. 34 seconds, you know, you think that's pretty much a wrap, and, you know, maybe they're kicking themselves in the butt for maybe taking that deep shot. It's so hard. Cause we can never put ourselves in that position as a player, as a coach, you know, as to what to call. You get a touchdown with 34 seconds. I feel like it's all she wrote, but unfortunately that was not the case to be. And we are talking about a Bills loss, but a, 7-3. It's still respectable. I think it's still at a pretty good part, pretty good way. Like I said, the schedule is favorable. This is still a double digit win team, like undoubtedly. As long as they continue to, you know, as they continue to grow. And as we mentioned, we got a couple weeks for them to kind of bounce back and fix on some of their stuff. But if you want to comment on that those last couple drives.
Yeah, I think One thing that really stood out, and we've seen this a few times this season, there was a third down play on one of those drives where Allen throws a big pass downfield to John Brown, who makes a big time catch, goes up for it and pulls it down. And it gets negated due to a Bills holding call back at the line of scrimmage. We've seen that on multiple touchdown throws this season. There's one to Gabe Davis that I remember was just phenomenal that got negated by a Bills penalty. Some of the old habits, right? Some of the old little discipline issues this year kind of nipped them a bit this game. They came back a little bit in the yeah. second half of this game and were costly to them. Those penalties have cost us more than a few big plays this season. So, and then, you know, you missed that. And then we had to punt it away on that drive, you know, under 7 minutes to go, Allen gets picked off again. So that, by the way, when he got picked off that time, that's when I started to think, man, you know, I wouldn't mind if he started taking off on his legs a little bit here, just to make sure that they're keeping the drives alive, just to make sure that they're getting downfield and to help, you know, kind of motivate and lead the offense, rile up and rev up the team a bit, get them energized, and also to put the defense on notice that he's facing, that, hey, I'm going to start making you respect that I can do this to you, open up maybe hopefully some passing opportunities. But with just over 3 minutes left in the game, once we got kind of in the stretch there where we're right down in the remaining minutes of the game, that's when I want to believe, you know, that's like those moments where, hey, the Bills are 5-0 in one possession games in these situations this season. Those are the moments that like all the Bills fandom in me is just wanting to believe that they're going to pull this out, even though the second half's been a little hit and miss and spotty. And all I can say is thank God for Cole Beasley, that one-handed grab to pull the ball on 1 foot for the first down to keep that drive alive that he did that in was fantastic. It put them within Tyler Bass's field goal range. So they had that kind of ace in the hole, like that little backup if they just needed to tie the game. And then there it is, that the thing that we're waiting for and believing for, big time throw, big time pass, big time touchdown, Allen to Diggs. I'm thinking that's it. This is what we were hoping for. They pulled it out and got the game. Cause I think at that point, if I'm not mistaken, I believe there was only like 49 seconds left. It made me think of that quote from Dumb and Dumber. It's like you had a rough game on offense and then you totally redeem yourself, you know, come back and kind of win it at the end. And look, you know, that Murray heave, a Hail Mary, like I unpackaged it earlier. I mean, there's all types of things that started crossing my mind, right? You do one thing differently. You defend Murray differently on that play. Any one of the other two receivers, aside from the one that went for the ball covering Hopkins, goes for the ball, probably wouldn't catch it. You track back through the game. You think about those drives that we punted the ball away because we couldn't get something going on offense, or where a penalty cost us something. There's a lot of things that you can go back through, play Monday morning quarterback with, and recognize, hey, you know, if we'd just done these little things differently, any one of those things could have changed the outcome of this game, not put us in that position to begin with, and not allowed the Cardinals back into it, and not even created that scenario at the very end where we're losing it on just a you know, toss up, basically, you know, a literal Hail Mary play. So looking at it that way, yeah, sure. There's absolutely things to feel good about. There's absolutely things to be encouraged by. And I'm not even that discouraged by this game. I had the Bills finishing 12-4 on the season. I'm notably optimistic, but I still believe that's entirely possible. So all that being said, I think the reason why it was kind of the way this game ended was hard is because it still feels like they should have won that game. Still feels like a game that they should have won. Still feels like one that was winnable. And, you know, those Cardinals injuries, Like I said, it's unclear whether or not that could have been, I don't want to say exploited, but just attacked better.
Right.
If that could have been more useful to them in the second half. It was hard to tell with the way that the offense was playing, but there was still a lot of fun stuff. I mean, even that trick play at the beginning of the game, Allen had a 64.6% chance of scoring when he made that catch. Like, there's just like little fun things like that that you can kind of pick up and take away from this game that were neat. I share some of your concerns about Dable. I know that when he's doing well, he gets a lot of praise and people wonder if he's going to be a head coaching candidate, but every few games or so, there's one that is a little bit of a head scratcher on some of the play calling. The Titans, you and I talked about that when they played the Titans.
Yes.
That was one of the very first things that we talked about was, I wonder what he was up to on these plays. I wonder what was, you know, the strategy or what it was they were trying to attack on these plays that just never really made it, you know, even past the line of scrimmage. So those are just some closing thoughts as I kind of look back over the game as a whole.
No, and I'm glad you shared them. But that is a wrap, everybody. That is a wrap. 2 weeks. 2 weeks off. Well, I'm sure after this game, all Bills fans needed that are going to need this bye week, let alone the Bills. So enjoy it. Enjoy it around some football. Relax. Veg out. See your family. You know, do something. Do something productive with your Sunday without Bills football. Whatever it may be, we hope you enjoy it. We hope you stay safe. And we want to thank you all for tuning in to the very first episode of the Wagon Wheel Podcast presented to you by Bills Wire at USA Today. Do we got like a cool slogan yet? Do we got like a cool like exit slogan? Dave, what do we got? Did you think of something?
One, right? Like we should. Like, we're going to need to come up with something like fun to say when we open, like welcome to the wheelhouse, or like when we're closing out, just like, you know, let's keep this rolling.
We're gonna have to work on that. It'll come with time. Don't worry. There's gonna be plenty more times for me and David connect and record.
Keep the wagon circling. Signing off.
Yes. Perfect. Keep the wagon circling. I feel like there's an Oregon Trail like reference, maybe possibly. I don't know. But what he said. We'll talk to you next time right here on the Wagon Wheel Podcast.